Salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them in a special way. First off, for the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you to comfort them with your Holy Spirit as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those going through COVID-19 right now as we speak, we ask you to heal them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the situations like the George Floyd incident, Lord Jesus, and many other wicked situations just like, Lord Jesus, that we read about in our newspapers, see on the television set, or hear on the radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you right now, Lord Jesus, you'd help us to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and wonderful and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now what we're going to do is we got a few preliminary announcements we're going to take care of. Then we're going to see who was with us that might want to say hi just before the broadcast. So let's take care of these preliminary announcements as we get into the broadcast tonight. Amen.
This is Lynn Challenger. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
If you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, at gmail.com. Again, kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Ruth. I don't know what's going on with me, but I just, I'm so down, all I want to do is sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Ruthie, I wish you she could say her name, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. The National Mental Health Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday,
take me to the King.
Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on The Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't let me.
The Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
It's not because God's left us, it's because we refuse to heed the
College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Trucking of Astabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, @gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right, come on now. Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com. That's PayPal.com. And in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are ready. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait.
Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us? Ruth, you didn't unmute your phone. You got to get your mic opened. We'll give
it's
you a second to
it.
Do that. There you go.
It's working. Okay,
you're
now
open.
We have
go
the
ahead.
Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you. Sister Emily, of course, me, when we have Jim.
All right. And Sister Emily, as we get you to say something here before the main part of the broadcast, that commercial, Don't Text and Drive, kind of reminds me of the guy, the serious, horrific accident that the one guy had. Did you hear about that, Emily?
No, I've never seen it, Ken.
Well, this guy had a real horrific accident. It took off all the left side of his car, but guess what? There's some good news.
He was all right.
He's all right.
Okay.
You'll get that about next week, Em.
I think she's already got it, huh?
So when you think about it, you'll get it next week.
All right, can't keep it up.
We're having one of those nights, hon.
All right. So, Em, we're going to let you give any prayer requests, what have you, real quick here, and then we'll give you an outline of what we got for tonight's show.
Basically the usual.
Right. And we got, of course, our prayer request for the Six Eyes family. God knows what it is, so we're going to keep that in prayer. The request for you, Em, as usual.
Also,
all right.
To for God to put my attitude in check today.
All right. Sounds like a plan. We all can use a check on the attitude once in a while. Amen. All right.
Also, I was talking to Mom earlier, and she was also asking for prayer for the staff up there, the Nursing Rehabilitation Center.
Okay. All right. So with that, let me give you guys a kind of an outline where we're going tonight. We've been studying the life of David as found in the scriptures. We are going to be studying tonight David Part 7. And in the midst of that, we have once again Pastor Bonnet as he tries to guess our message in song and poem. He's trying to outdo six. Does he end up start getting good buzzers or the bad buzzer in order to get better than six? We'll find out tonight. Does he get the good or bad buzzer? If he gets a bad buzzer, there's a chance he may choose to use sound effects that may affect those who have PTSD, etc. So just beware of that. But we'll see if he gets the good or bad buzzer. Then, of course, after we do David Part 7 and finish that out, Ruth is going to take us in Bible prophecy to what, Ruthie?
The Antichrist.
Ooh, the Antichrist. Sounds like quite a few people we know.
Well, there's going to be a lot of false prophets in the world, so, you know, they're pretty much in the same category, only he's the chief jerk. So I'm going to just call him like this. He's a jerk.
So tonight, we'll want to listen to find out, is the people that we know the real Antichrist, or is he somebody else? So we'll find out who Ruth is talking about, the Antichrist. And then after the study of that, we go into our question of the day, which neither has a right or wrong answer. It's based upon your own opinion, dear listener. And then after that, we have a closing prayer, and then we have a new segment tonight just before our Redzel Vine song, which is our Stay Warm But Safe segment that we're adding to the program. And then after that, of course, we'll be closing with our Redzel Vine song, as always, which we hope everybody enjoys. And then we'll be closed out for the evening. All right. So is everybody good and ready for the program tonight?
Oh, honey, I want to pray for lost souls and the homeless. There's a lot of homeless out, and I see them just about everywhere. So this weather's very bad, and just pray they find a place.
All right. So are you good, Em, and ready to go?
You better let to do it.
All right, so time to get out your pad, your pencil, your brailler. In the case of Ruth, slate and stylus. Quick note, vocal note taker, whatever it may be, that you use to take your notes. And if you don't get all the notes tonight, you can always go on your smartphone, and you can always go to the podcast section and type in Six Eyes Radio, SIXEYES, space radio, RADIO, and then hit subscribe, and you can have this show as well as all the other shows found here at the Six Eyes Radio Network for your listening pleasure any time of day or night. But you'll be able to get all of your notes right there anytime and be able to go back over and over the show. All right, so here we go with David Part 7. So get out your note taker. Here we go.
For those of you who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number 1, join the conversation, especially at the end of this broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. In the story of David and Goliath, which part do you like most? In the story of David and Goliath, which part do you like most? But right now we're going to get into our study on David, part 7. And our first scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 to 23. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 to 23. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
David, therefore, departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart, and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth. When Saul heard that David was discovered and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me? And there is none that sheweth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me or sheweth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was sent over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, and he acquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. Then the king sent to Saul, or to call Ahimelech, the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, and they came all of them to the king. And Saul said, hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, here I am, my lord. And Saul said unto him, why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, and that thou hast given him bread and the sword, and has inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day? Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, and who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. And the king said, thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not shew it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. The king said to Doeg, turn now and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the king, a city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abathar shewed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Ahithophel, I knew it that day, when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard.
And we have quite a bit of meat here tonight. And we definitely find what we were talking about last week, the henchmen of Saul giving away where David ran off and how he had sought and talked to the priest, etc. So we're going to be finding out all about that tonight. So let us get started as we read our first context in tonight's reading, which is found in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 to 4. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 to 4. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered himself unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you, till I know that what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold.
Here we find David escaping after he had left the priest. And after he escaped, he goes into this cave, into the, what they call the hold. And lo and behold, when he's there, he takes his mother and his father to Mizpah, to this king. And he says, I want you to take care of them. This Edomite, king of Moab, and he tells him to hold on to them, to keep them, and so he's at the hold, and they took care of them while David was in the hold. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel 22, verses 5 to 8, 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 5 to 8. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And the prophet Gad said unto David, Abide not in the hold. Depart, be into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth. When Saul heard that David was discovered and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, Hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me? And there is none that sheweth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse. And there is none of you that is sorry for me, or sheweth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me, to lie in wait as at this day?
Poor baby. Poor little Saul. Boo-hoo. Don't you feel sorry for him? They all conspired against me. Boo-hoo.
But first we notice that David was told by Gad, who is a prophet, to not stay in the hold, but to go. And David obeyed because he knew he had to follow God. But then Saul hears of it.
Boo-hoo, y'all conspired against me. Don't y'all know what's David going to do? Give you all vine vineyards and fields and boo-hoo. Y'all conspired with my son against me. Boo-hoo.
What have we got? Do we got a king? Do we got a three-year-old baby? Because he didn't get his toys. Boo-hoo.
all, you poor little baby. What, you need a nipple to stick it in your mouth, baby? Boo-hoo. That's what he sounds like here. But you know what? How many of us, dear listener, are the same way? When we don't get our way, our sinful flesh wants to go, boo-hoo. Amen. I know I'm preaching, but that's the way it is. Boo-hoo. Poor you. Time to grow up spiritually. Amen. Our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 9 to 13. 1 Samuel 22, verses 9 to 13. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Then answered Doeg, the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him and gave him victuals and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech, the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, and they came all of them to the king. And Saul said, Hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, Here am I, my lord. Here I am, my lord. And Saul said unto him, Why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, and that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day?
And here we find what happens with rumors and lies. Rumors and lies. The so-called goon of Saul. Now, you notice, yeah, he observed David coming in and asking the priest for bread. He observed David asking for a sword. But he never once observed David asking counsel or leadership. But what did this man say David did? Oh, he inquired of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord, of this priest. David did no such thing. This man went above and beyond what actually happened and lied. He told a falsehood. That's the problem with so-called little white lies. You can paint them. You can make them little. You could paint them white, but they're still lies. You could take a house that may only have two bedrooms in it, but it has one address. You could paint it white, but it doesn't change the fact that it's still a house. Amen. 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 And that's the problem. If you want to eat 95% sugar, go ahead. But beware of the other 5%. It's poison. It's better known as rat poison. Just because something looks good doesn't mean it really is. See, that 5% will kill you. Amen. And that's what happened here. He put enough truth in there to make it look good. But he had to slide in some lies with it. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in, which of course will be our wrap-up scripture for this half of the study. But just before we do that, we want to remind everybody where Pastor Bonnet has been. He has been 1 for 2, and he has one bad buzzer in a row. Will he make it 2 for 3?
and get a good buzzer in a row, or will he make it 1 for 3? We'll see how he goes tonight. But, of course, our wrap-up scripture is found in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 to 13. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 to 13. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you, till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart, and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came unto the forest of Hereth. When Saul heard that David was discovered and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah, under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me? And there is none that sheweth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me, or sheweth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day? Then answered Doeg, the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, and priests that were in Nob, and they came all of them to the king. And Saul said, hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, here I am, my lord. And Saul said unto him, why have you conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day?
And, of course, as we've already noticed, that David had brought all these people together, those that owed debts, whatever, got himself some men together, had 400 people, went into the hold. Nathan told him not to. So he went on, followed what God told him to. Then, of course, Saul and his pity party. Boo-hoo. Boo-hoo. Pity me. Because, well, y'all conspired against me. Boo-hoo. Poor Saul. Aren't you going to cry for him? Poor baby. Because David, you get the son of Jesse, who is David, has conspired against him. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo. We're going to cry. Poor baby. You're supposed to be the king. Acting like a little three-year-old. He sounds like a little baby needs his bottle shoved in his mouth. Amen. But we all do that when we don't get our way. Amen. But right now, while those of you out there who are acting just like Saul need to get your bottle stuck in your mouth, we'll listen to Pastor Bonnet as we turn the mic over to him and see if he can, if Pastor Bonnet can tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen. Thank you.
world born into strife who can substitute love for their inconvenience in life, such as the blind who can't see the night from day, but yet they can see love in so many ways, such as the deaf who can't hear a sound, but yet they can hear when love is around, such as the mentally disabled who can't comprehend, but yet they can love until there's no end. It's the people in this world who think they're the perfect kind. These are the people who are mentally disabled, deaf, and blind.
All right, Pastor Bonnet, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
All right. Wonderful song and a great poem. I believe the common message is that I would say that true love is blind, but it's felt by it. It can be felt by everyone. So, regardless of your position in life, true love can be felt. And God has given us true love, and we can feel it. So, I think that will be my common thing will be that it doesn't matter who you are, true love can be felt. God's true love can be felt.
Well. This time you got it right. True love can be felt. Why? Because true love isn't something you see. It's something you feel. Amen.
Yeah, I got it right. So that's another one on the press column. So we thank God for it. And that is true. True love can be felt. Thank God. I can feel His true love. Amen.
Amen, amen. And while we're feeling that true love, we're going to pause to hear about the great programming found only here at the Skies Radio Network and a little station, ID. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Success Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation.
And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday,
take me to the King.
Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday, Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
It's not because God left us. It's because we refuse to heed the mighty
Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show. It's where you get Bible college on the air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. And we're back and want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. In the story of David and Goliath, what part do you like most? In the story of David and Goliath, what part do you like most? But right now it's time to go back into our story of David. This is part 7, and our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 14 to 19. 1 Samuel 22, verses 14 to 19. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, "And who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything to his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more." The king said, "Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house." And the king said unto the footman, "Get fit about him. Turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, because they knew when he fled and did not shew it to me." But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword.
Well, I guess it's wrong to tell the truth. I guess it's wrong to tell the truth. This priest goes and says, excuse me, king, what you heard isn't true. I never inquired of the Lord for David. He didn't deny the other charges about giving David bread or giving him the sword. He didn't deny that. But he said, wait a minute, this other charge? It's not true. I didn't inquire of the Lord. But still, Saul gets, still, he's mad. Boo-hoo. He tells his footmen, hey, fall upon these priests. Kill them. Kill them. The footmen had at least a decency about them, had some spiritual substance about them. They said, we're not going to do that. Forget you, Saul. We're not going to go and kill God's priests, God's anointed. So then he tells his goon that had been the one to tell him all these lies and stuff, he says, why don't you do it then? And he does, because he didn't have no spiritual depth in him. He falls upon the priest, kills him, kills all the wives, children, asses, donkeys, and all that. Babies, infants, you name it. Doesn't even care. That's exactly what happened. All right, our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 20 to 23. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 20 to 23. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abathar shewed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abathar, I knew it that day, when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard.
And you notice this one man escapes, tells David what happened. And David says, I knew it all along. I knew it all along that this goon, when he was standing there, would tell Saul everything. He says, why don't you just stay with me? I'll keep you safe because, hey, if Saul sought his life, if he seeks my life, I should say, he's going to seek your life. So this guy stayed with David, and David kept him in safeguard. All right, now we're going to go through and recap this half of the show as we go back through 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 14 to 23, 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 14 to 23. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And Ahimelech answered the king and said, who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me, let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. And the king said, thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not shew it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, turn now and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword. One of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abathar shewed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abathar, I knew it that day, when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard.
And as we find, in simple terms, Saul was not very happy. He took the simple lies of this man over hearing the truth of this priest. And because the man told the truth, he lost his life and his family's lives. Telling the truth sometimes will pay a price. Amen. All right, now we're going to recap the whole chapter, the whole show, as we go one time more through the whole chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 to 23, 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 to 23. All right, Ruthie, get a real good swig of coffee and take us there.
David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab. And he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. He brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth. When Saul heard that David was discovered and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds? All of you have conspired against me, and there is none that sheweth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me, or shew unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me, to lie in wait as at this day. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, and they came, all of them, to the king. And Saul said, hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, here I am, my lord. And Saul said unto him, why have ye conspired against me, thou and thy son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day? And Ahimelech answered the king and said, and who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is this king's son, in law and goeth at thy bidding and is honorable in thine house. Did I then begin to inquire of God for him, be it far from me, let not the king impute anything up to his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. And the king said, thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not shew it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priests. And the Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep, with the edge of the sword. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abathar shewed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abathar, I knew it that day, when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not. For he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard.
And the two major things we learned here today, first off, be like David. When God gives you direction, follow it. Just like David, when Gad told him, don't stay in the hold, David obeyed. But at the second point, don't be like Saul, being a little baby, boo-hoo. When he didn't get his way, he started to whine and cry about it. Well, when you don't get your way, no sense crying and whining about it, because all it does is show how immature you are. And Saul, even though he was the king, he was only showing how immature he really was. Amen. But I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number 1, join the conversation, especially at the end of the broadcast, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. In the story of David and Goliath, what part do you like most? In the story of David and Goliath, which part do you like most? But right now, we're going to pause for a little station ID and a few other messages, and we'll be right back with you. Amen.
This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm just ready to say heck with life and ready to feel like I'm feeling like I'd be better off 6 foot under.
You don't want to do that, Em. I don't know much about this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend. But remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number's 440- And they do have a PayPal. Here, they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are there. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you.
Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Walk among us and many so far away. Famine, war, and desolation. Nation rising against nation. Trouble everywhere too. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that flame is all goes down.
Tribulation.
When the seven seals are broken.
And the seven vials are open. And the seven trumpets sound. Tribulation.
When that flame is talking,
tribulation.
When the seven seas are broken,
and the seven vows are open,
and the seven trumpets sound.
This lesson is called The Antichrist. The theme, the Antichrist, is one of the most popular prophetic subjects to be discussed anywhere at any time. I want to base this lesson on one verse of scripture found in one of John's epistles where he says, scripture, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time, 1 John 2:18. This title of Antichrist is only found five times in the New Testament. It's mentioned twice in the scripture, which I just read to you. It's mentioned once in 1 John 2:22, once in 1 John 4:3, and one time in 2 John, just verse 7, because it doesn't have any chapters. It's just verses, and it's just verse 7. While these scriptures are the only images of the word Antichrist in the New Testament, yet the one of whom they speak is fully dealt with under other titles or names in both the Old and New Testament. This same individual is commonly recognized by worldwide readers as the Antichrist, of course reading the Bible, you know. Yet he is also known in the book of Daniel as the little horn. In Daniel, when Gabriel delivered a message to the prophet, he was also referred to as the prince that shall come. Matthew, the writer of the first gospel, speaks of this individual as the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel. Apostle Paul speaks of him as the man of sin, the son of perdition, the wicked one, and then, of course, John in the book of Revelation speaks of him as the beast. All these titles refer to the same individual because anyone against Christ is Antichrist. And the different writers recording their inspirational messages down through the centuries and different titles, but we're speaking of one particular person, the Antichrist. Though the Antichrist is identified by several popular names, we know he's a deceiver, he's a liar, he's an imitator of the Holy One, and yet he's Satan's counterfeit of God's Son. In order to get off on a good footing, we need to understand that when the Antichrist appears on the world scene, eventually revealed, he will be Satan's masterpiece. We must keep before us the thought that the Antichrist is not only one who is against Christ, but he is one who corresponds to or is instead of Christ. In other words, there will be a period of time upon the earth of about 7 years duration, which we commonly refer to as the 70th week of Daniel. And if you're a Bible student at all, you know what I'm talking about. And this individual will progressively and gradually work himself into world power, eventually emerging as Satan's absolute dictator. Presently, we're living in a period of time known as man's day. Man's day began with Adam and will continue until the Battle of Armageddon. Man's day will culminate in the presentation of Satan's great counterfeit and masterpiece, that is a human being endowed with Satan's own power, seat, and authority. is a scripture. And the dragon, of course, that's Satan, gave him, the beast, Antichrist, his power, his seat, and great authority. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Revelation 13, verses 2, 5, 7 through 8. Of course, that's only in the King James Version, I believe. I don't go for any other version. You've just read portions of four verses of Scripture which say one and the same thing, that being Satan's Antichrist, Satan's marvelous masterpiece, that of counterfeiting the Son of God, is going to possess all of Satan's power. In other words, that individual will be able to operate and function even in the realm of the miraculous as though he were Satan himself. Believe me, that's frightening. Imagine the day and age on this earth when the populace of this planet will be subjected to satanic power of that degree. It's coming. It's yet in the future. During the period of time in which we now live, from Adam to Armageddon, man's day, Satan has had many opportunities to work out and experiment with various plans of controlling the world. Whether you're familiar with it or not, Satan deserves to be, or desires to be, this world's God. Okay. Now, here's the scripture. Here's where it's talking about where he fell. Okay, this scripture says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High God." That's Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 14, KJV. When Satan, who's going about the earth as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, was Lucifer, as Lucifer was thrown out of heaven, he promised that he would be like the Most High. So, the culmination of that threat will be when Lucifer now becomes Satan for this particular situation and bowers a human being with his own power, seat, and great authority. That individual will rule this world with a fist of iron on an international scale for 1,260 days. We know this is true because the scripture says, "And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations," Revelation 13, 7. This indicates a universal rule, not an authority limited to the immediate Middle East area, but an international satanic dictatorship. So perfect will be Satan's deception in the presenting of his masterpiece, Antichrist, that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. Yet we know the elect, the true people of God, cannot be deceived if they desire to know the truth. The elect before the rapture of the church and the elect after the rapture will be the Israelites. So you'll see what that is as we go on. Over the centuries of time, students of the Bible have sought to identify the Antichrist. Some have thought he was Nimrod, a popular candidate was Antiochus Epiphanes. Some have strongly contended the Antichrist was Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, and one of the most popular candidates is the Pope of Rome. In fact, there's a denomination noted for its prophetic emphasis, which strongly contends the Pope of Rome is the Antichrist. No one seems to have been able to shake them from their speculative interpretation. Years ago, a man wrote a book concerning a magician in Syria who supposedly lived in a house with 1,000 rooms, no windows, but this man seemingly had power to cause all the rooms to be brilliantly lighted, and the author of the paperback book strongly contended the Syrian magician was the Antichrist. Well, some say the Antichrist will be an actual child of the devil, a direct offspring of Satan. They indicate that Satan will have sexual relationship with a woman and actually produce a physical child. There are many and varied interpretations regarding the identity of the Antichrist, and they all put together would form a thick volume. It's not my purpose to endeavor to spend time on these various interpretations because we feel that nothing of value would be accomplished, and you would be no wiser in the study of God's Word if such were the case. One thing we do know, the Antichrist will be a human being, because the scripture plainly says, here it is, "Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man, and his number is 666
3:6, Revelation 13:18. The phrase I specifically want to call your attention to in this verse of Scripture says it is a number of a man. It's not the number of a system of a church or the leader of a church, but it's the number of a human being. Please bear in mind that Lucifer threatened God way back in the book of Isaiah by saying, I will be like the Most High, Isaiah 14:14. God has his son, Jesus Christ. Satan is determined to have his son, the Antichrist. Satan is the master imitator. He's going to produce a masterpiece of deception in the end of the age of presenting to the world an individual possessing his power, seat, and authority. In John's Gospel, the beloved disciple, speaking of Jesus, says, he came unto his own and his own received him not, John 1:11. Jesus Christ himself, speaking of this same situation, said, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. For another shall come in his own name, him you will receive, John 5:43. In other words, we have the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, saying, when Satan's masterpiece, the Antichrist, appears on the world scene, the Jews will receive him. Of course, until that point in God's program arrives, naturally that individual will not come. So people ask the question, why doesn't the Antichrist appear now? May I say that all events of the scope of world happenings must be in harmony with God's overall master plan. Believe me, it might not look like it sometimes, but God is in charge of this universe. When the time arrives for the appearance of the Antichrist, he'll make his appearance. Let me back up this position with a portion of Scripture which very definitely sets forth this great truth. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, 2 Thessalonians 2:7-8. In other words, these two portions of Scripture are telling us in everyday language that something of a mysterious, overpowering nature is keeping the Antichrist from appearing. But at the same time, iniquity is working in the world because we see evidences of it on every hand. All one has to do is substantiate such a statement is merely to pick up a copy of the morning newspaper or tune in to the 6 o'clock TV news on the evening, and practically everything you'll see or hear, read, or comprehend is bad news. There's no such thing as good news anymore. It's all bad news. And it bears out the declaration that the mystery of iniquity doth already work. In other words, Satan is a roaring lion, is going about this old earth seeking whom he may devour. Satan is the process of taking out his threat to be like the Most High. Now the question comes, what is holding the Antichrist in check and what is keeping him from coming on the world scene? Well, there are many versions and interpretations, but the Scripture is clear and speaks for itself. In these two verses, it clearly indicates that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the divine Trinity, is working a mystery in the world, keeping in check the evil one. Because if Satan were not held back or checked or retarded, then he would overrun this earth with his wickedness. So the Scripture strongly indicates only he, the Holy Spirit, will, who now letteth or hindereth, will let or hinder until the Holy Spirit be taken out of the way. Once the Holy Spirit successfully checks the workings of the mystery of iniquity, then Satan will be free to present his Antichrist to the world. That's why Bible says, and now you know what was holdeth that he might be revealed in his time. 2 Thessalonians 2:6. Some people have the idea that the Antichrist is going to come on the world scene amid wars and tremendous international struggles, and he will emerge as a monster, a hideous individual who will scare little children and old maids. But I don't think the Scripture bears this out. He will have traits of character which will cause the inhabitants of the world at that time to admire and worship him. The prophetic Scripture indicates he will be a master politician because he will be able to bring about a cessation of military hostilities in the Middle East. Of course, naturally, he will have to be a man of military stature because the Scripture plainly say he will make a covenant with the Jews in the state of Israel. I would like to share this verse of Scripture with you. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the middle of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate.
even until the consummation of that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Daniel 9 and verse 27. This verse of scripture strongly indicates that the Antichrist will be able to militarily and politically bring about a cessation of fighting and peace allegations in the Middle East. It will be during this period of time that the Israelis will rebuild their temple. I believe the invasion of the state of Israel would have taken place at about the same time, but a great power to the north is part of God's judgment upon the invading hordes from the north. The Bible says, every wall shall fall to the ground, Ezekiel 38:20. Knowing the Muslims and realizing how strong they are in their faith and how fanatical they are in believing that everything is decreed by Allah or God, in this case, this would indicate to me there is the possibility of the destruction of the Dome of the Rock building at that time. The Dome of the Rock sits on the spot where the three previous Jewish temples have been erected. If God decrees to destroy the Dome of the Rock during the invasion of the State of Israel, then this will open the way for the Jews to rebuild their temple on the original site that Solomon built his. Daniel 9:27 would be a complete harmony with God's overall plan of permitting Satan to bring the Antichrist on the world scene. The invasion of the State of Israel by military power to the north, the rebuilding of the Jewish temple, and then the Bible says that when the temple is finished, halfway in the middle of the 70th week, commonly referred to by Bible students as the tribulation period, then the Antichrist becomes a blasphemer. He goes back on his word to the Jews and fulfills the scripture which says, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation end of the 70th week, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Daniel 9:27 KJV. Please bear in mind, Daniel was writing around 535 BC. That is the particular portion of the Bible bearing this name, and we find Daniel's writings fulfilled, or should I say, brought up to date by the Apostle Paul in the book of Thessalonians, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. The temple built by the Jews will then become the headquarters of the Antichrist. He will desecrate their newly rebuilt, beautiful, long-desired temple. He will unleash his fury upon the Jews living in the Palestine sector of the world, because the scripture plainly declares so. We will stay by the word of God all the way in the study. Now, the next scripture. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, but pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Matthew 24, verses 15 to 21. Please note two things mark the middle of the Daniel 70th week. They are the Antichrist breaks his seven-year covenant with Israel, takes over Jerusalem as his capital, and then unleashes tremendous persecution upon the remnant of Israel, living in that immediate Jerusalem sector of the Middle East. That's why they have to flee for their lives. Matthew says, let that which be in Judea flee into the mountains. He didn't say that they should take a 2 weeks vacation into the mountains or go for a Sabbath day drive down through the Negev desert. He says, flee into the mountains. John, in the last book of the Bible, picks up the theme of this same situation, and he declares, the woman fled into the wilderness. The woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness into her place. Revelation 12, 6, and 14. So we can see the Antichrist is going to become a tremendously powerful worldwide dominating figure in the future. There's just no way that you can argue this thing to not. It has to be. It's part of God's overall plan. That is, God will permit it when the psychological time in his master plan is ready. We're living in tremendous days, days which are momentarily prior to the rapture of the church. Make sure you're ready to go when he comes. Praise the Lord. Hope so you are. I know I'm ready.
Praise God. In the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, the Antichrist will break his original 7-year covenant with the Jews. He will take over the newly rebuilt Jewish temple in Jerusalem as his world headquarters, making the city of Jerusalem an international city. He will also at the same time unleash satanic fury upon the remnant of Israel, and that will include the 144,000 who have previously been marked by an angel from God. In the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation, let's just look at that 7th chapter briefly for just a moment. Scripture, I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Revelation 7, verses 2 through 4. Scripture teaches that this 144,000, or 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, will be in that group which will be fleeing in the mountains, in the wilderness, in the desert, going in front of the Antichrist army, a special place that has been prepared for them down through the centuries. I'm of the persuasion that the city of Petra, located approximately 150 miles due south of Jerusalem in the mountains of Edom, will be that hiding place. This is a consensus of opinion of many evangelical Bible scholars. In connection with our study of the Antichrist, I would like to emphasize something here that I just have not heard discussed anywhere. A lot of people can't understand how a group of Jews, unorganized, with seemingly no visible leader, could possibly travel 150 miles south of Jerusalem and successfully get into the city of Petra without being overtaken by the Antichrist's army and slaughtered. Well, if you would turn to the book of Revelation in chapter 12, we have a portion of scripture that explains this miraculous escape of the Jews who are fleeing in front of Satan's Antichrist. Please bear in mind, it's at this particular time, the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, when the Antichrist proclaims himself God, takes over the Jewish temple as his headquarters, proclaims Jerusalem an international city, then he becomes empowered with Satan's power, seated great authority, as the soldiers pursue their great throng of fleeing Israelites. The Bible says that suddenly the earth opens up and swallows the Antichrist's army. That's a great idea. Scripture, and the servant casts out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away in the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Well, I have to get mad and get glad again. Okay, Revelation 12, 15, and 16. God has promised to take care of his own at all times. The elect before the rapture of the church are the born-again believers. The elect after the rapture of the church are the Jews. God will take care of the elect at all times. The earth suddenly opens up as the Antichrist army is pursuing this great throng of Jewish people, fleeing for their lives, and suddenly all of them disappear down into a great hole in the earth. They're never heard of again. The same thing happened way back in the Old Testament. There's the scripture, and Moses said, hereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they revisit it after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, the earth's grave, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord, and it came to pass, he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. Numbers 16, verses 28 to 32. Well, that happened in the days of Moses, and was a sign from God that Moses was a man of God. Do you remember when Pharaoh's chariots were chasing the children of Israel? They came to the Red Sea, the Israelites crossed over dry shod, and then Pharaoh's captains thought that they would do the same, but the Bible says, Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them, and they sank into the bottom as a stone. Exodus 15, verses 4 and 5. Same thing will happen to the Antichrist's army when he pursues the Antichrist south toward their hiding place, where God has promised to supernaturally care for them
for 1,260 days, which is the equivalent of 42 months, or the half of the seven-year tribulation period. We received a bird's-eye view of Satan's plan for the culmination of this age when he brings a man on the world scene who will receive his power, seat, and authority. We have seen some of the program of that individual as he does most of his dictatorial rule during the 70th week of Daniel. We've seen how he really comes into power during the last 42 months of the 70th week of Daniel. And then at the conclusion or near the conclusion of the tribulation period, he raises a great army to oppose Jesus Christ as Christ's second advent. This is explained in the Word of God in this manner. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them in the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Revelation 16, 13 and 14. Previous to this, the Bible tells us that something of a miraculous nature takes place because the great river Euphrates and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Revelation 16 and verse 12. I persuaded that this will be a literal drying up of Euphrates, say that there was a little drying up of the Red Sea for the Israelites when they were pursued by Pharaoh's chariot. Purpose of this is to prepare the way for the kings of the east to come to Palestine to assist the Antichrist at Armageddon. Bible further says in the book of Revelation that the Antichrist is to gather the armies of the world, indicating that where countries and nations and kingdoms and naturally each of those corporate bodies will have armies, and they will be required to send a representation of their armed forces to the Middle East to assist the Antichrist in his opposition to Jesus Christ returning to the earth. Okay, we go to the scripture, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Revelation 19:19. The personage that sits on the horse is described in verse 11 of Revelation chapter 19, and that person is none other than Jesus Christ, who is called faithful and true. He's also the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the armies which will follow him will be the armies of the angels and the armies of the redeemed of all ages, coming back to take over the governmental control of this earth for 1,000 years. Please bear in mind that Armageddon will not be an ordinary battle or a long, drawn-out war as we have seen in the past. But we fight between Christ and his heavenly armies, who will oppose the Antichrist and his armies. Purpose will be to stop Christ from taking possession of the earth, because Satan knows that once Christ takes over as the legal possessor of this earth, because Christ rightly holds the earth's title deed, Satan knows that the furtherance of his Antichrist program will be stopped dead in his tracks. Better get rid of him. We know that Christ will prevail because he is the victorious Christ, the Son of God, when Christ returns at his second advent, when the war of Armageddon has been fought. Then the Bible tells us that the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan are going to be imprisoned. First of all, the beast and the false prophet are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Okay, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone, Revelation 19:20, and it's not going to be light, it's going to be hot. Satan has further programming in God's overall schedule of world events, so Satan at that time will not be cast into the lake of fire, but he's going to be retained during the millennial reign in the bottomless pit, the place for him. Now we've got scripture, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. That's Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. Satan is finally defeated once and for all time at the conclusion of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, when he likewise is cast into the lake of fire. I said that's a good place for him. Get rid of him. Okay, scripture. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Revelation 20, verse 10 in the King James Version. As I study the Word of God, I'm amazed at the leniency of God and His grace and mercy. Why would God put up with Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, permitting and allowing them to bring all the havoc upon the universe they have and will still bring during their respective periods of work? Yet, on the other hand, God is long-suffering, and God gives opportunity after opportunity, and not only for the world in general to repent of its sins, but God gives each individual person authority or opportunity after opportunity to repent and come to God, confessing Christ as Savior and allowing their lives to conform to the will of God. We know the Antichrist never does repent nor conform to God's will. Neither does the false prophet, neither does Satan, and the ultimate end for them is eternity in the lake of fire. That's a sad conclusion for any being or person. I trust you will never allow such a catastrophe to overtake you. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross of Calvary that we might have forgiveness of sin and become the recipients of eternal life. I trust you've accepted the great gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the next lesson will be Bible facts concerning Antichrist.
And we thank you, Ruth, for that great information about the Antichrist. Amen. But right now, we're going to pause for a little station ID and to hear about the great programming found only here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific on Tuesday.
Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Take me to the King.
Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't let me.
Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
It's not because God blessed us, it's because we refuse.
Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show. It's where you get Bible college on the air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
7 days a week, but what you really want, the Six Eyes Radio Network.
And glory, hallelujah, we're back and want to remind those who call 424 243-9617, again, 424
1-800-243-9617. Press number 1, join the conversation, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. In the story of David and Goliath, which part do you like most? In the story of David and Goliath, which part do you like most? It's that time. It's open mic time. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us?
We've got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Jim, and me.
Ah, so Emily took powder on us. Okay, well, Ruth, we'll start with you. Story of David and Goliath. What part of the story did you like most?
Where he killed him. Because he really did show the Lord's power and the Lord helped him. So I'd say that God was glorified there.
Well, I'm going to have to say, for me, the part of David and Goliath, the part that I like most, wasn't actually so much the battle, even though you'd think that would be it. Even though that's good, my part was when David was standing before Saul, just before the battle, and he sit there and he looked at Saul. They were going to give him this armor, and he said, look, I haven't proved this, so I'm going to use what I'm used to. I'm going to use basically my slingshot and my shepherd's staff. I'm going to use what I'm used to. I'm not going to try to do God's work and God's will with something I'm not used to. And I think that's where a lot of people in the church, they go beyond, they try to go outside their comfort zone, if you will, trying to do something that God would not expect them to do. In some ways, it's like as if they're showing off. When God only expects them to go with the talents that they've got, and they can achieve great things for him. So that's the part of the story that I like most. Well, with that, we're going to let you, Ruth, give us a closing prayer. And then after we do that, we're going to play our new segment about staying warm and safe, and then our Red Soul Vine song. So give us a closing prayer, Ruth.
Now, Lord, we want you to be with everyone that needs you, especially six right now, that Precious lost his mom. And be with every lost soul and everyone out there that needs you before it's too late. We believe you're coming soon, sweetheart, and can't wait to see you. We love you and praise your name. And be with the homeless out there, too, because it's awful cold right now. And somehow help them get the right people to help them get in a place soon before they would die out there and freeze to death. And we love and praise your name, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. And just so I want to remind people, but as we get ready to go into our last segment and our Red Sylvine song, to join us for the other programs, upcoming, the open programming tomorrow, and, of course, the Sunday broadcast at 1 p.m., Monday broadcast, 9 p.m., Tuesday broadcast, 8 p.m., of course, Wednesday at 7 p.m., Thursday, 9 p.m., and, of course, we'll be back again next Friday. So for Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang and Sister Ruth, we're going to go into our Keep Warm But Safe segment here, and then, of course, our Red Soul Vine song as we close out tonight.
To the Six Eyes Stay Warm But Safe segment, where it is better to be warm and safe than cold and in your grave. Today I'd like to talk to you about safety with different types of heating. First of all, let me talk to you about furnaces, whether gas, propane, or oil. First of all, have your furnace looked at by a well-qualified technician, not your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your brother, whatever, that claims they know what they're doing, but a well-qualified technician who has went to school for such things. Also, be sure to change your air filter once a month, and be sure there are no debris, clutter, etc. around your furnace. Moving on, let's talk about fireplaces. We're talking about the gas-type fireplaces or wood-burning fireplaces. These areas must be well vented through a chimney. Be sure there is no clutter near the hearth, etc., and children should not be allowed to play in such an area. Also, be sure there is no debris close to the area that could catch fire. Now let's talk about space heaters. There are many types on the market today. First, let's talk about electric space heaters. Be sure all electric space heaters have the shut-off feature. Should they be tipped over, they shut off automatically. Secondly, be sure to check the cord on a monthly basis. What you should check for is, one, where the plug plugs into the wall socket. Be sure while the unit is working and running that the plug is not getting warm. If it gets warm, replace the electric heater. This is because it can overheat the plug and cause melting of the plug and an electrical fire. Secondly, check the length of the cord from the plug to the electric heater to make sure there is no melting or fraying of the cord, which can cause a fire. Also, be sure all cords are not under or around the space heater itself where it can be overheated or cause a trip hazard. Next, the space that a space heater should have. All space heaters should have a clearance or space between the heater and all objects near them. This is easily accomplished by putting your left leg near the heater and your right leg next to the object you want to make sure there's space. You should be able to stand easily between the two without cramping yourself. This is at least a 2-foot space or span. Also, above the space heater, there should be nothing between the space heater and the ceiling. This will give it proper room for allowing heat to escape the heater without causing fire. The reason for this, if, for example, wooden furniture is near it, the furniture can become overheated, dry out, and thus cause a fire. Objects such as cardboard or paper can easily become overheated and ignite. Cloth objects can easily overheat and become ignited and cause a fire. This is why there should always be a 2-foot span around the heater and at least over the top of the heater. From the top of the heater to your ceiling should be always clear. And never, ever touch a space heater with your bare hands while it is running. Electric heaters that have fans. Do not place anything on the area of the space heater where the fan is pulling air into the fan, known as the intake valves. This can cause the heater to overheat and burst into flames. Also, put nothing on the outgoing air because of the same reason for the cause of fire. In fact, nothing should be on any space heater of any type reason that they can cause fire. Now let's talk about propane and kerosene heaters. These types of space heaters
burn with an ignition source and flame. They put off CO2 due to the igniting process and the burning process. These space heaters require proper venting. They should not be used in a closed house without proper ventilation. Without proper ventilation, these heaters could cause the CO2 to build up. You would start to feel sleepy, fall asleep, and never wake up again to see your family, and they would be very saddened at your passing. So do not use these space heaters without proper ventilation. Finally, let's talk about what they call torpedo heaters, paying heaters. Some also are run by kerosene, and these heaters have a fan that takes the heat source and makes it at an extreme heat, more heat for the buck, as they say. The fan blows across the heat source and makes it hotter. These heaters are usually used in a garage-type environment. Once again, because of the heat source, propane or kerosene must be properly vented. Should never be used inside of a home without proper ventilation due to the CO2 buildup. Stated before, this is true of all heaters, no matter their type, whether in your fireplace, space heater, torpedo heater, whatever. Young children, teenagers, or yes, even you adults should never allow children to play around them, nor should you touch them while in operation. These are causes for serious burns. We do not want you to be burned due to your space heater. Remember, proper space for your heater, proper checking of the electrical, and proper use are all important when using heaters. We want to reiterate with what we started with at the beginning of this segment. Here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want you to be safe but warm, because it is better to be warm and safe than cold and dead.
Dream for sale.
I was looking through the morning paper, like a lot of us do every day, when I saw an ad that caught my eye. This is what it had to say. One dream house for sale. It's a bargain for nothing down. And there's no closing cost for the dreams I lost when the girl I love left town. There's 5 rooms, a bath on an acre of land, and a nursery painted pink and blue. A baby bed and a little white high chair. And it's all almost brand new. There's a sad-eyed old dog in a picket fence around a yard that's full of weeds. Why, just one look and it's easy to see. A little love is all that it needs.
Dream house for sale. If you found a love that's true,
The only thing wrong with this house of mine is the black cloud that hangs above. I guess it's there to keep out the sunshine, since mine's a house without love. That's just about all there is to tell about a boy and his love that failed. Four words tell the rest of my story. Dream house for sale.
Dream house for sale. Maybe it's meant for you. If you're the lucky one, and if I'm the